Let's open our Bibles, please, the book of Revelation and chapter number 5. Revelation chapter 5, and we're going to read some verses from God's infallible word together tonight. That's Revelation chapter 5, commencing to read at the verse at number 1. Let's follow the reading of God's infallible truth. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. One of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousand of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb for ever and ever." And the 4 beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth for ever and ever. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's bow our heads for a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word this evening, and we pray that by thy Holy Spirit, that thou wilt write thy word upon each and every one of our hearts. We pray that you'll cover us afresh in the precious blood and fill us with thy Holy Spirit, and help us, Lord, to say the things that you want us to say and be silent concerning the things that, O God of man, would say. But we pray that in all things that Christ will be uplifted. And so to this end, I pray that thou wilt take thy word and apply it to every heart, and grant, Lord, there might be a turning unto thyself this night, that all the glory and praise may be given unto our Savior alone. We pray in the Savior's precious name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. The Bible is full of names that are ascribed, or titles that are ascribed to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Advocate. He is the Almighty. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the beloved Son. He's the Branch. He's the Captain of Salvation. He's the Faithful Witness. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Blessed and Only Potentate. He's the Man of Sorrows. Many are the names and the titles that are ascribed to Christ. And then we have the names that Christ gave and ascribed to himself. He says, "I'm the Good Shepherd." He says, "I'm the Door." He says, "I'm the Light of the World. I'm the Bread of Life. I'm the True Vine. I'm the Way, the Truth, and the Life." He says, "I am the Resurrection and the Life." He says, "I'm the Alpha and Omega, the First and the Last." But in the book of Revelation, you will notice that John depicts him not as those things, But John depicts him as the Lamb. And I want us to look tonight, just for a short time, at what John said concerning the Lamb in the book of Revelation. You remember John, whenever he opened his gospel, he records the words of John the Baptist when he declared, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." You know, when many people read the book of Revelation, to be quite honest, many people are looking in prophecy for the appearance of the Antichrist. But my friend, the book of Revelation is not about the Antichrist. The book of Revelation is about the Christ. It's a book about the Lord Jesus Christ. And even when it comes to the appearance of Antichrist and the beast and the false prophet, we find indeed that they're all being recorded there, and it all relates to the vindication and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so therefore, when you're looking in all of the scriptures, because remember what Jesus said on the road to Emmaus, that he, in all the scriptures, he opened those things and he expounded the things concerning himself. So who is the preeminent one in the book of Revelation? Not the Antichrist. The preeminent one is Christ Jesus the Lord. Now in John's final revelation, in this book of the book of the Revelation, there are four pictures that we can only touch on one tonight concerning the Lamb. I'm sure there are others, but I'm going to mention four. For example, the first one is the Lamb's blood redeeming. And that is in Revelation chapter 5 that we read and we'll come back to in a moment or two. Secondly, there's the Lamb's bride rejoicing. You'll read about that in the book of Revelation chapter 19. Then there is the Lamb's book recording. And you'll find that in the book of Revelation chapter 21. And then, of course, in Revelation 21 and 22, we have the Lamb's building remaining. And you know, every one of those individually is worth a tremendous study. And spend your time around the book, search the scriptures concerning the Lamb. Now, let's look just closer as we come to this book of Revelation. In chapter 1, it says this, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John." So in actual fact, what John is simply doing is what was given to him. He's just writing down what was given to him, this revelation. And of course it says in verse 2, "Who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all the things that he saw." Now you'll find in the book of Revelation, you'll find it speaks about what John saw. He says, "I saw." And then it says, "I heard." For example, it says there in verse number 10, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega." So we have the things that John heard, but also the things that John saw. For example, in chapter 1, verse 17, "And when I saw him," who's the him? It's the Lord Jesus. "When I saw him," he said, "I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." And so therefore, you can come to the scriptures in the book of Revelation and find the things which John saw there and the things that John heard there. But I want us to come to, because of time, to the chapters 4 and 5, because they constitute one vision. It's a complete vision here, which is given here in the chapters 4 and 5. Now in chapter 4, you will find that the emphasis that John had in this vision was about a throne. For example, it says verse 1, "After this I looked, and beheld," or behold, "a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one that sat on the throne. You find that 12 times in that chapter 4, it speaks about the throne. And so there is a prominence here about the throne that is mentioned in the chapter 4 and him that sat upon it. When we come to chapter 5, you'll find that 4 times Christ, the Lamb of God, is the center figure. For example, in verse number 6 of chapter 5, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. Verse number 8, it speaks about that as well. It says, and when he had taken the book, and the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. And then verse number 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb. And then verse 13, the last line, it says, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And so what we find here in chapter 5, that John is taken up with the Lord Jesus, the Lamb, and he's the central one in his thoughts as he continues to write what God has revealed unto him. And friend, I suggest to you tonight that what you and I need as believers is we need a greater vision of the Lamb. We need a greater vision of Christ. Because as you and I get caught up with him, then the things of earth will grow strangely dim. And the things of earth will mean less. And we'll live our lives in with heaven in view. And I have no doubt whatsoever that as John was taken up with the Lamb, that my friend had a tremendous impact upon John's life. And made his suffering, because remember, he was an isle called Patmos. He was suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ. But when he got caught up with the Lamb, when he got his eyes upon the Lord, I can tell you that that made life, even in isolation and in persecution, it made his suffering bearable. And even made him long for heaven and for home. Do you remember what he said before he finished when the Lord Jesus talked about, I come quickly. And what did John say? Even so come. Even so come, Lord Jesus. You see, his eyes were totally upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, whenever John was writing this revelation, I believe that he was writing it to those who were suffering saints. Because you'll notice it says in chapter 1, verse 9, I, John, who am also your brother and companion in tribulation. And so therefore he's writing to the believers that were suffering, they were in tribulation. And I believe that the language he uses indicates that he was wanting to encourage, he wanted to comfort the saints that were in a time of persecution. And friend, that's what God's people do need. They need comforting. They need encouraging. Because there are so many things to discourage God's child. We sing the wee hymn, it's not an easy road. We're traveling to heaven. And so to get comfort, you need to come where? To the throne. You need to come to the throne. You need to come to the throne and see the sovereignty and to see the supremacy of God in all situations. Because whenever you come to chapter 4, he got a vision of the Lord, and it said there in verse number 2 of chapter 4, behold, the throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And friend, that means a blessed thing. The Lord's on the throne tonight. And you know, whenever you realize that God is upon the throne, we sing the wee hymn, God is on the throne, or God is still on the throne, and he will remember his own. Though trials may press us, though burdens distress us, he never will leave us alone. Why? Because God is still on the throne. And he got a vision of the Lord upon the throne. Now I wish I had time to go in this, because whenever it says there in verse 3 of chapter 4, he that sat was to look upon, this was the one that was in the throne, he that sat upon it was like a jasper and a sardine stone. Interesting that. He was to look upon like a sardine and a jasper and sardine stone. What does that speak to us about? That speaks to us about the eternality of God. He is from everlasting to everlasting. You say, how do I know that? Well, because Sardis, the Sardis stone, was the first stone in the high priest's breastplate. And the jasper stone was the last stone in the high priest's breastplate. And so therefore, what is he called? He says, I am the first and I am the last. And so there we see the eternity, God's eternity. He is the Alpha and Omega, denoting God's eternality. But we need to move on tonight. Because whenever we come to chapter 5, then there are three things that we get our eyes upon, and we can only talk about one of them, but we get, first of all, his eyes upon a scroll. I saw on the right hand of him that sat upon the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Now, that word book means scroll. It was a parchment. It was a parchment in those days. It was a parchment. We don't have books. They didn't have books that are bound like this. And so therefore it was a parchment, and that's what he saw. And you'll find there were three things. He saw a scroll, then he saw a sacrifice, and then he heard a song. Those are the three things. And I'm just giving them to you because we'll not be able to dwell on much of this, but we can just ask you to take a look at it, because those symbolize, and the order is so important, the scroll. And then after the scroll, there was a sacrifice. And then after the sacrifice, there was a song. Now, that's interesting, too. Because in actual fact, what we have there symbolized in the order. Scroll, sacrifice, song. We have symbolized the order through which the soul of man passes on his journey from nature's darkness into the glorious light of the gospel of Christ. It's not there insignificant. It's there important. You see, we're taken first of all, before a person is saved, he's taken first of all to the Word. You've got to preach the Word. God, through the foolishness of preaching the Word, he saves them that believe. And a man has got to realize that he is lost, that he is a sinner, that he's on his way to hell before he will ever take the next step. Because if a man sees not that he's a sinner, then he'll never look for the sacrifice, he'll never look for the Savior. Why? Because he doesn't believe he needed. He doesn't need a Savior. It's not until he's first of all taken to the Word and to the scroll, the Word of God, which in turn, when you go to the Word, that brings you to the Lord Jesus Christ, the slain lamb. And my friend, that's the answer to man's sin. That's the answer to our need. It's in the Lord and through the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And tonight in the service, I want to tell you, my friend, there is no answer for your sin outside of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the blood that Jesus shed upon the cross of Calvary. Thank God, the Word of God in turn brings you to the slain Lamb of God, and that finally brings you to the song of redemption. Because then, thank God, it reaches your heart. And then you can sing the song of a soul set free. So this is all important. Every part of the book is important here for your meditation and for your study. Now in John's vision, in chapter 5, it says in the right hand of him that sat on the throne, there was a book written, or the scroll was there, and the scroll was in his right hand of the one who was sitting upon the throne. Now, the right hand speaks about divine authority. And thank God there is authority here. We live in a day and an age when people do not want to yield to the authority of God's Word. And my friend, there is no authority for the pulpit outside the Word of God. The church authorities have no authority when it comes to the great salvation of a soul. It's the Word of God that points you to Christ and is the final authority. And this church, thank God, we believe in the authority and the inspiration, the divine inspiration of the Word of God. That this is God's divine, precious, and holy Word. And you know how encouraging it is to remember this. That the right hand that he held the scroll in, he did something else. Go back to chapter 1. In the right hand, there was something else. Because it tells us in the right hand, in chapter 1, in verse number 20, it says this, and the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand. And the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels or the ministers of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks, which I saw, are the seven churches. And so therefore the Lord has in his right hand, thank God he's holding his church. And he's holding his ministers in his right hand. You know, we can only minister for God with divine authority, with divine support. Thank God for the right hand of God. And you know, God holds the church in his right hand. Because it says this, he was holding in his right hand not only the seven stars, but the seven golden candlesticks. And thou sawest the seven are the seven churches. Thank God he's holding his people. And tonight I want to encourage you to tell you this, that thank God he's holding you in his right hand. Thank God there's power. You're not left to go on alone. In Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 13, he says this, I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, for I'll help thee. And so therefore, if you're discouraged tonight and you need encouragement, remember this, he's holding your right hand. And also he's holding you in his right hand. And there's none shall be able to pluck you out of his hand because you are a child of God. And there's something else here before we move on. In a dark day of apostasy, when the word of God's despised and belittled, God honors the word, for he's holding the scroll in his right hand. And then it says something about it in verse 1, chapter 5. In this scroll, it says, it was written within and on the backside. And again, that's interesting. Because in actual fact, what that simply means is this. You see, usually a parchment was only written on one side. But not this parchment. It said it was written within, and it was also written on the backside. And what that means here is this. That thank God it was so written that nothing could be added to it. It was a complete revelation. It was written on the both sides. Thank God man can't add to it. The revelation was final. The revelation's complete. And I want to tell you tonight, God's revelation is complete. And when you hear someone telling you about God giving you him a revelation or her a revelation that's outside of this book, friend, just forget about them. Because it's not of God. God has spoken in the last days. The last word that God has got to say to his church today and his people today and this world today is through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the living word. And God has given us a final revelation. And the Holy Spirit of God says we're not to add to and we're not to take from the Word of God. Now here we find this book is written and there's a seal upon it. And this parchment, it represents God's eternal plan. And for that to be revealed, the seals have got to be broken. The scroll represents Christ's title deeds to all that the Father promised him because of his sacrifice upon the cross. And whenever the strong angel proclaimed with a loud voice, verse 2, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? No man in heaven. Now the word no man in its literal means no one. No one. No one in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. They were neither able to open it, nor to perceive its contents. And John says, I wept much. When there was no one to open the seals of this book, it broke John's heart. Because you see, here was a stipulation. The only one who could open the book was someone who was worthy. No one was worthy. That was the answer. No one was worthy. But you see, John, whenever he heard that there was no one could remove the seals, it says, I wept much. It broke his heart. You see, sad to say today in this world, there's not many people want to know what God has to say and what God has to reveal about his eternal purposes. in this old world today. You see, man's more interested in the sports pages of the newspaper or the headlines of the paper than we are about what God says in his book. They have more interest there. But not John. John wept very much, friend. He wanted to know what God had purposed and what God had planned. One of the elders spoke up and said to me, "Weep not. You don't need to weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." So thank God there was an announcement made by the elders. One of the elders, one of the 24 elders, said, "Weep not." Now the elder in the church government is as a representative of the congregation or representative of the people. He's elected to rule and to represent them as God gives them wisdom. And when John saw the 24 elders, this was a gathering of the representatives of the church before the throne of God. These were the redeemed sinners representing the people of God in the Old Testament and in the New. And the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he said, Lion was regarded as the king of the beasts. And it represented sovereignty, majesty, power. And the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. In other words, has overcome, has been victorious, has been a conqueror. Who's the Lion of the tribe of Judah? The Lord Jesus. And thank God, friend, when he heard that, thank God his tears were dried up. Now he turned. He turned to see the Lion. Look at verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lion? No. Stood a lamb. He looked for a lion. And instead, he saw a lamb, but there's something about this lamb. It says this lamb stood there as it had been slain. Now notice it says, there stood a lamb. Friend, the lamb's not dead. The lamb's living. A lamb is standing, but notice, it was as it had been slain. Though it had been slain, it was now living and standing. I said to you earlier on tonight, the book of Revelation depicts Christ as the lamb. 28 times in the book of Revelation, we have Christ depicted as the lamb. Do you know that he's only referred directly as the lamb twice in the Old Testament? Isaiah 53 verse 7, Jeremiah 11 verse 19. Only twice in the Gospels. John chapter 1, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Verse 29, 26 or 36. Only once in Acts. Acts chapter 8 verse 32. Only once in the Epistles. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, we're redeemed, not with corruptible things, but as the blood of the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. But 28 times in Revelation. And here's the first mention. Revelation chapter 5. And it introduces us, friend, in the first vision, to the sacrificial and the redemptive aspects of the one that John saw. Yes, the Lord Jesus is both the Lion and the Lamb. The Lion who conquers, but the Lamb who atones for our sin. And even when Christ is invested with all power and glory on the throne of heaven, friend, he will still be the Lamb to his redeemed people. That word lamb actually denotes a little or a pet lamb. A newly slain lamb. You see, friend, the victory of Calvary is ever in view in heaven. And Calvary makes headlines in glory. You'll notice about this lamb still bears the marks of having been slain. Isaiah chapter 53 says he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. That is butchered. Butchered. Literally, the word slaughter means cut in the throat for a sacrifice. And Christ was offered as a sacrifice for the sins of his people. And that is reminding us of the shame and the humiliation and the pain of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. Yes, he was slain. But he's now a standing lamb. Go back to Revelation chapter 1. And whenever John fell at the feet of Jesus, in verse 18, what did Jesus say? I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. And you know, whenever a lamb stepped forth there, he reached forth his hand to take the scroll. And he who was upon the throne, God the Father upon the throne, surrendered the book or the parchment to Christ, acknowledging that he was worthy. Because remember, that was the stipulation. Who is worthy to take the book? Who is worthy to open the book? Who is worthy to declare the book? The Lord Jesus Christ himself. I know the time's quickly going, but I just want to say just something about the song of heaven, the substance of the song of heaven. Go with me to verse number 9. And it says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every nation and tongue and people and nation. There are four things in those closing verses that I just want to mention, and I'll do it quickly. First of all, there's the person of the Lamb. Thou art worthy. Who's the focus of the songs of heaven, friend? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the sad thing is today that many churches sing songs today that in actual fact are so empty of Christ. They're really empty. I love that whenever we sang tonight, I am my beloved's and my beloved's mine, O Christ. He is the fountain, the deep sweet well of love. The streams on earth I've tasted more deep, I'll drink above. Oh, I am my beloved's and my beloved's mine. He brings a poor vile sinner into his house of wine. I stand upon his merits. I know no safer stand, not even where glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. Friend, there's substance to that. The Lamb is worthy of our praise. And that's why every child of God, friend, let me tell you, whether you're in tune or out of tune or tune your own, that's why you should try to sing the hymns. You come to God's house to worship him. To worship him. What did the hymn writer say? Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing. If I had 1,000 tongues, I'd sing my great Redeemer's praise. My friend, you haven't 1,000 tongues, but you want. And therefore, you ought to sing your great Redeemer's praise. The person of the Lamb. You see, my friend, he was the one who was despised, it says in Isaiah. He was rejected of men. He was the man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes were healed. It says he was despised, and they esteemed him not. Do you know what that means? They esteemed him as nothing. And to the ungodly, they see no beauty in Christ. But thank God, unto them that believe, he is altogether lovely. I ask you tonight, do you see the beauty of Christ? There's the person of the Lamb. Secondly, notice in the Song of Heaven, there's the passion of the Lamb. Because it says this, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain. And friend, heaven's praises, what is it about? The cross. The cross. The slain Lamb. That's why we sang tonight the words of that hymn, alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my Sovereign die? Did he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned upon the tree, amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Thus might I hide my blushing face while his dear cross appears. Dissolve my heart in thankfulness and melt mine eyes to tears. The Song of Heaven, friend, is the bleeding Lamb. And yet, sad to say today, that many churches have revised their hymn books and they've removed out the blood. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain. But let me tell you, my friend, we glory, says Paul, we glory in the cross. You remove the blood and you take away the basis, the only basis for the hope of man's salvation. Because Hebrews chapter 9 verse 22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And friend, except you come as a sinner to the cross by faith and receive the cleansing of your sin in the precious blood of the Lamb, unless that happens, unless you humble yourself before God and take your place as a sinner, you will never be saved. You will never know God's pardon. And so we have not only the person of the Lamb is the Song of Heaven, but the passion of the Lamb is the theme of the Song of Heaven. For thou wast slain. And then thirdly, notice the power of the Lamb. Because it not only says, for thou wast slain, but it says, thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. And that's why we started to sing tonight. What was our opening hymn? Redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child. And forever I am redeemed. Redeemed. Notice what it says here. Thou hast redeemed us to God. We've been brought back to God, friend. We have been bought with a price, the price of the precious blood of Jesus. We were stole. We were in the slave market of our sin. But praise God, we were purchased by the blood of Christ. And we are redeemed to God. We have been reconciled with God. Once we were afar off. But now we are brought nigh by the blood of Christ. And notice the people he has done this. What does it say there in verse 9? Thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, out of every tongue, out of every people, and every nation under heaven. Who have been redeemed? A bunch of hell-deserving sinners have been redeemed. Vile sinners on the road to hell. But thank God we've been redeemed to God by the Savior's blood. The blood of the slain Lamb. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Have you been to the Lamb of God tonight by faith? Have you claimed His pardon and His forgiveness and His peace and His salvation through His precious blood? The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Ah, thank God, there's the power of the Lamb. There's the passion of the Lamb. There's the person of the Lamb. Lastly, there's the praise of the Lamb. And they sung a new song. See, once we used to sing the songs of the world, friend. The songs of the world used to be our choice. But thank God there's a new song in our heart. Because the psalmist says, He not only brought me out of a fearful pit and from the miry clay. He not only set my feet upon a rock. He not only established my going. He put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God. Now who is singing this song? The redeemed. I know I've got to finish tonight. Let me show you something. Notice whenever the redeemed of God sang the song, something else happened. Verse 11. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands. Singing. No. Who was singing? The redeemed were singing the song of the Lamb. But we find the angels could not sing that song. Because it's a song that even holy angels cannot sing. But it says the angels around the throne, they were saying with a loud voice. Not singing, saying. The redeemed were singing, the angels were saying. We often talk about, you know, even at Christmas time. I just noticed this as I was studying there. We often talk about the heavenly host just broke forth into singing. That's the fact that that's not what it says. It does not say that the angels sang that morn of Christ's birth. Because if you go back to Luke's Gospel chapter 2 quickly. It says in verse number 8, And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And verse number 13, And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying... Didn't say singing. Saying. Glory to God in the highest and on earth. Peace. Goodwill toward men. And here in the book of Revelation, the angels are saying. Because, you see, they had never experienced sin. They had never experienced sorrow. They had never experienced suffering. They had never experienced separation. Therefore, they couldn't sing the song of victory. They couldn't sing the song of triumph. Only those who had been redeemed by the blood. But all the angels and the beasts and the elders all began in unison to say them. What did they say? Verse 12, chapter 5. Were they? There's the word again. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. You notice, let me tell you, friend. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain 7 times. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, blessing. 7. Number of perfection. And my, our Savior is the perfect Savior. Worthy. Worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. And then something else happened. Go to verse number 13. It says that every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying. Every creature just blended their voices in to shout together. Blessing, and honor, and glory, and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And then it says this. And the four beasts says, Amen. So it is. So let it be. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Heaven praises the worthy Lamb. But one question. The Bible tells us in the book of Exodus, in the commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And yet they're falling down and worshipping this Lamb. And they're crying, and the redeemed are singing, and the creatures are praising and saying, worthy, worthy's the Lamb. Does not God say, I'm a jealous God? Why then is God allowing this to happen? I'll tell you why. Because you see, my friend, he is the eternal Son of God and God the Son. And praise God the Father. My directs the honor and the glory and the praise to his Son. This is my beloved Son, God the Son, the eternal Son of the eternal Father, the divine one, and they all worship. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Ah, friends, let me tell you tonight, God has given him a name that's above every name. And you know, when I read that chapter 5 in Revelation, it's the fulfillment of the prophecy of Philippians 2. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess. He's Lord. Now, sinner, I say to you tonight, you will either confess it tonight and confess Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, or one day you will. Every knee shall bow before him. Every knee confess that he is Lord. A God rejecting, a Bible denying world are going to praise the Savior. And every blasphemer and every atheist that God has ever given breath, he's going to praise the name of God and worship God's Son. But it'll not be for his salvation. It will be his eternal damnation. For all eternity. Eternally lost. Worthy. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lamb. Thou art worthy to receive glory and power at my Father's right hand. For thou hast redeemed us, hast ransomed and cleansed us, by thy blood setting us free. In white robes arrayed us, kings and priests made us. And we are reigning with thee. Thank God, and we shall reign with him forever. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Friend, as we're bowed before the Lord tonight, he is worthy of your worship. He is worthy of your praise. Will you acknowledge him as your Savior? Will you fall before him tonight and confess that you're a sinner, lost, hopeless? Will you receive him as your Savior and your Lord? Or will you wait to eternity and acknowledge before his throne Jesus Christ is Lord? If there's one tonight in the service, you say, "Preacher, I'd love to be saved. I'd love to know Jesus as my Savior." I'm going to the minister's room in a moment, friend. Please come and meet me there. Don't go away without the Lord Jesus. Bow the knee in time. Don't wait to eternity when you're eternally lost. And when you die in your sin and go to hell. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him tonight. For thank God he's near. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the vision of Christ. We thank thee for thy precious word that points us to the sacrifice. We thank thee for those who've been brought to the song of the redeemed, the song of a soul set free. Save the lost tonight. Restore the fallen. And bless your people. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Dear anxious soul, don't leave without the Lord Jesus Christ. I beg you in God's name, come to him. The word of God says, "Him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out." May God bless his word to your heart. Amen.